Do you work for an authoritarian regime? We'll discuss. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. The latest North Korean missile test over Japan hasn't seemed to rattle markets. In early trading, the Dow is up 34 points, a tenth of a percent. The S&P 500 is flat. The NASDAQ is down just 2 points. A crucial market story is that bonds seem to have fallen out of favor for now. Late last week, a benchmark for interest rates in America was down at 2.03%, with that hurricane headed to Florida then. Now, the 10-year yield is up close to 2.2%, up 17 notches, bips, basis points, in 5 trading days. That implies a stronger economy where interest rates run higher. On Fridays, we consult Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. He says this move is not being driven by the U.S.,
sell-off in bonds, the rise in yields, started a week ago with the release of China's latest PPI data. That's the wholesale price report. It measures the price of goods coming out of factories, and it was surprisingly higher. U.S. bonds are still the global benchmark. There's no question about that. But when you look at the ability of an economy to move markets, it's a function of both size and volatility of growth. And China is the hands-down winner. They borrowed a lot of money, and they poured it into their economies to produce growth. GDP in China is so far this year exceeding expectations. But they also generated a certain amount of inflation at the same time.
But that's what I wanted to ask you about, Chris, because Chinese authorities at the Beijing level have been trying to rein some of this frothiness in.
Yeah, and we're reacting because if Chinese factories can charge more for goods, then they're probably willing to pay more for raw materials. So it boosts commodity prices. And that has a global inflationary impact that reaches here. But at the same time, President Xi has appointed himself the head of China's efforts to address excessive debt. And just about a month ago, he issued a blistering report on local debt growth, where he threatened jail sentences for people who didn't rein it in. So it's sort of like the schoolboy, you know, who's handed in a paper expecting an A and gets accused of plagiarism instead. This borrowing has already started to dry up. And I suspect within a few months, this global re-inflation story is going to deflate. But it will take a few months. And for now, it has people thinking that maybe the Fed is going to raise rates in December after all.
Here in the U.S., Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Thank you for the briefing.
You're welcome, David. Thank you.
After a decade of steady declines around the world, hunger went up 10% last year. According to a UN report today, 815 million people didn't have enough to eat. If you missed our coverage on the air, it's in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed now. Odds are you work for a dictator. Even if you love your CEO to pieces, it ain't no democracy, as they say. Many companies can tell you what to do, say, or write, even when you're off the clock, often on the theory that everything you do reflects back on the company and that personal character counts. Elizabeth Anderson is a professor of philosophy at the University of Michigan. Her new book is called Private Government: How Employers Rule Our Lives and Why We Don't Talk About It. Professor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So let's talk about it. You can think of companies like miniature tyrannical states?
That's exactly right. The private workplace is a little private government where bosses order workers around, sometimes tyrannically, and there's very little accountability for the power that they exercise over their workers.
You're talking beyond 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.?
Absolutely. So we live under an employment at will regime. And what that means is that employers can fire workers for any or no reason, even for off-duty activities that they do in their private life over the weekend, on vacation. That could include, for instance, supporting a political candidate, donating to a political campaign, or just speaking out on a political issue, where they disagree with their boss.
Now, you have thought a lot about this. You would like to strengthen systems that give rank-and-file people a greater voice in the workplace?
Yes. Germany offers the leading case of this. They have a system at larger firms known as co-determination. And under co-determination, workers actually get an official say. And that appears to be quite consistent with high wages, very good working conditions, stable employment. And workers are pretty happy with the system.
What about going the whole hog? Labor unions.
One of the minuses that a lot of workers feel about labor unions is that it puts them in an adversarial relationship. And a lot of workers would actually prefer a more cooperative relationship, and that's something that co-determination offers. When they are made responsible for the effective functioning of the firm, they can advocate for better working conditions, but cast that in a way that will be helpful to the firm rather than just seeing every encounter as a zero-sum struggle for benefits against their employer.
Elizabeth Anderson, a professor of philosophy at the University of Michigan. The book is called Private Government, How Employers Rule Our Lives and Why We Don't Talk About It. Professor, thanks for talking about it with us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn, both in Los Angeles. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.